Kick its ass.
Staring at my crisps is the copy of that ad.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people it took to come up with that one. Yeah.
One Ben Clifford and five other Ben Cliffords to take the credit.
I'd love to have Ben on this podcast to like discuss this, because I love what I really just kind of find so funny about the tagline is, you know, 100% they started not with the product, but with the tits. It's like, what if we had some ads where we're just showing a bunch of tits? All right, but how do we relate it back to the crisps, guys?
Good point.
You staring at my crisps, I suppose?
Let's see what the lab has to say about this. Because here's what you have to remember, is that like Ben is a failed creative for the most part, right? And I mean this in the highest possible compliment, because he's by far the least failed creative that ever went into advertising, though. So it must annoy him to like sit there and
look at, are you staring at my crisps, and be like, you greenlit that?
Yeah, like, you know, it's by accident or fate that Ben is in advertising and not writing for like a late night comedy or something like that, right? It's just, he could have done it. It didn't work out that way.
Yeah.
But many of them that are in there are, oh man, because tits and crisps, they don't rhyme now, but bear with me for a minute, because they sort of do. People will let it slide. Though they'll let it slide, folks. You remember when there was an ad for Camogie? Speaking of things that would not be acceptable, man, it was literally just, it was, the tagline was chicks with sticks. It won like awards.
I do not remember that.
It won. It was like one of those, like, and now on RTE News, a new way to start promoting Camogie. And funny enough, type of people who were against it then would now be like, that's actually funny and it's impinging my free speech to say it's not.
I actually, like, progress is slower than a lot of us would like. But it's these kind of baby steps that are actually kind of like harmless and funny. I think it's like they're trying to promote women's sport. I am for that. But they still need to retain like some element of it's ridiculous. Like, what about chicks with sticks?
You know? Chicks with sticks. Yeah. This will, that.
What
will
do
get,
people love about
it? You're taking a tiny
women.
Step in the right direction.
Yeah, it's like you do figure out the ends before you figure out the means.
Yeah.
Like, we want women's sports to be better. All right, what does that actually look like? Well, let's just try a bunch of things and see what's most congruous with that in the long run. Right, but in the short term, there'll be some fucking crazy shit that happens.
I mean, you might want women's sports to be better. The people with the money want it to be sexier. So we really have to walk a thin line.
Have you seen athletes? Like, you don't need to make sports sexier. Just put the athletes on the screen.
You see, you're very much talking about, like, track athletes. I think we do need to make shot put sexier.
No, because you're already watching one big thing, which is the track and field. You got your long jumpers and your sprinters, and they're all very, very sexy people.
And the people who are in the field.
Yeah, but then there are some people who are there for the shot putters. Some 7 foot tall German man just throwing this weight
just
around.
Being like, oh, look at the fucking round ass shoulders on that one. Like, don't yuck someone's yum here, Manus. I mean, like, there is someone for whom round ass shoulders and a broad ass back is,
I mean,
everything.
I dislike the implication that I cannot yuck someone's yum if I feel like it. And I do.
you can yuck yourself, sir. But do not dare to impinge your yuck on their yum.
I do at every opportunity. It's like, don't kink shame. I'm with it to a point. The adult baby diaper lovers.
Where's your line,
shamed.
Manus?
Adult baby diaper.
His
they
line
should
his,
be shamed.
His line
adult
is
baby
a line.
And ridicule.
No, Manus doesn't have ABDL a line. It's a continuous loop that involves him coming in his own arse. That's Manus's line.
Harming no one. I don't wear a nappy and make someone else change it. I'm fine with that.
Actually, I suppose, the true sovereign citizen comes in his own
arse. Thoroughly, thoroughly self self-reliant.
It's entirely, it's regenerative, it's sustainable.
The funniest part of whenever anyone breaks this down is that they'll try and be like explain how it could work, or someone will send me like a link to someone like literally sticking their own dick in their eyes. And it's like, the point, it's only funny if it can't happen. It's not if it becomes sad.
The idea of it is way funnier than
when you see a guy actually like bending his dick around and putting it in his own arse and fucking himself until he ejaculates. It's like, that's it's a lot less funny now, to be honest with you, now that I see it happen.
And once again, my problem is predominantly unseeing it.
Yeah, it really is. Because like, I suppose you could just put the cum up there pretty easy, get a turkey baster. Yeah, fucking,
that's not what we're talking about.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
But come on,
guys.
We're trying to have an adult conversation here.
Have an adult baby diaper lover conversation here.
There's pleading ignorance, and then there's pleading unimaginative.
Yeah,
it's true. Speaking of chicks with sticks, it's the final countdown.
Yay!
I'm Manus Cronin. Joining us this week, as always, making his way to the pulley weights, sashaying towards the center, the main character at the gym today, Jack Toner.
I do sashay in the gym.
You know, the guy at the pulley weights. You know, the ones where you like have to do a Jesus pose and then do it.
I do love that, but I refuse to use the two cable machines to do it. It's gotta be the one dedicated unit with the two handles. Otherwise you're taking up two machines for one exercise, and I just
precisely. This is
and the stretch is going outward instead of backwards, so it's even a way worse form of the exercise.
Yeah, you know, the purpose is to take up as much gym real estate as possible and have everyone look at you.
And if you're actually trying to achieve that, well then what you want to do is you want to do the Jesus pose standing in the middle of the dumbbell area. Just be like,
oh, yeah.
Not even holding anything, just arms like,
check out these fucking lats, everybody.
Yeah, people give out about curling in the squat rack, and I understand why, but I mean, it's unobtrusive compared to that. I mean, Jesus himself knew that to best display his gains, he needed to be crucified.
He did, yeah. He asked for that. They were going to give him the electric chair.
You think he's going to have those abs, and that's not just like open it up for it, show everyone to see?
He gets there, you can see Pilate's about to pardon him, and he's like, Pontius, what are you fucking doing here? Did you see my fucking abs here? I've been on the cut for months.
I want fucking Renaissance painters to be like having difficulty with my vascularity, you know? That's fucking, how fucking cut I am right now.
See Barabbas? Barabbas is fucking doughy. He's fucking come in smooth. Send him to the fucking free, that motherfucker.
He's living right.
He's not CrossFit, is what I'll tell you. We're fine. We're still fine.
Oh yeah. I was just observing Gavin.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm transfixed.
I've got a very fancy beer, guys.
This audio medium is very helpful for us to be transfixed by what Gavin's in the middle of doing.
But... yeah, it has like a champagne cork, this beer.
Cork and cage.
Okay.
Or a cage. Yeah, I'm in a real cage match with this fucker. So it's White Hag, I'm Gavin Carberry, also on the final countdown.
Woo!
Sorry. My beer is the White Hag Silver Branch Apple Sour. Silver Branch is a collaboration beer with MacIver's Cider Company. It comes with a champagne cork and cage, and it's in a 375ml bottle. This beer is fancy ass.
That is the busiest beer.
Yeah, but I saw it and I was like, "Well, like, I have to get this."
Yeah, you're a successful man who's doing well.
Yeah, I don't know if I go that far, but like, I'm thirsty. And this
is there
delicious.
Anything other than packaging to differentiate it from a flagon of cider? Because it seems like they're going a long way to not have it be a flagon.
Yeah, I know it does. Like, it's incredibly fancy. Like, and let me tell you, I'm paying for the privilege. We'll get to that at the end.
Oh. Where did you procure such splendor and grandeur?
Fancy Mace on the South Circular Road.
Oh, Fancy Mace. You know that a place is having a come up when the Mace gets the fancy beers.
Yeah, well, the Mace itself is actually a little bit grim and crummy, but out the back, they've just got an amazing beer selection.
Yeah, I think they've been well known as a beer thing for, I think, as long as we've been doing this podcast, they've been it's been one of those ones where it's like, huh, why is this so good?
It smells like a funky cider. On the nose, it smells like a cider that's slightly more funky.
That's good.
Okay, that's, I know you didn't make a noise, but that's the loudest face I've ever seen you make, and that's a high bar to clear.
Well, I don't know if we're doing first tastings yet, but I've got some thoughts.
You might as well.
Anybody else got a beer?
I do. I have a Perlenbacher, a spooky Perlenbacher.
Ooh! I'm interested to hear about that.
So am I, because I've got to tell you, it is, if it's just not terrible, this could be a, and I know the term gets thrown around a lot, it could be a game changer. We'll see. There's a distinct funky smell off it when it opened, which you don't normally associate with a non-alcoholic beer, but yet there it is.
Mm.
So I'll have a little sip on this. You can maybe... Jack, have you got something there? Or
I'm just going to have a Guinness. I actually wasn't going to drink at all, thinking I might need to drive later. And then I was like, Jack, don't drive to the place you're going later. Go there and drink as well.
Precisely. Yeah.
You need to lean into this abundance of free time that's been thrust upon you. Absolutely. And get wrecked.
You may never get this again, Jack.
Booking. That's a great... You know what, man? That's a great point. Let's get loaded.
There may be a time. And Jack... I hate to break it to you, there may be a time in the future where you are employed. You may never get this again.
And there will certainly be a time in the future, unfortunately, when you're dead.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can be employed when we're dead, bro. That's better now.
You get it. Well, Gavin, what do you think of your... What was your construed and constrained face in aid of there?
This is so fucking tart. I was like, when I smelled it, it was like, that's a slightly funkier cider. I wonder, is this like, it'll be a little bit more sour than a cider, which like I'm kind of into. And like MacGyver's do good stuff. They do nice dry stuff. It was melt the face tart, like a sour apple sweet, like really just acidic and punchy in the face. And like the apple flavor is really nice. But like the sourness is so strong, it's almost like you're drinking apple cider vinegar. Like, it's a lot.
It sounds like one you'll have to ruminate upon, chew its cud, if you will. And you did have all those extra stomachs put in, so that should be well
doable.
Although potentially anything that drives it further away from tasting like a sweet apple cider, maybe to the good.
Yeah, because I think the worst thing would be, and I won't bury the lead here. This cost €8.
You said it was a 375, so that's like
375.
Can amount of hooch.
Can amount of hooch, 5%. And I get it. It's fancy. It comes with the little champagne thing. It's like, you know, novelty, absolute novelty beer. That is absolutely fucking insane. But at least it tastes fun.
It's not boring. At least it doesn't have the audacity to be boring.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm paying for you to have tried, not for necessarily what you've produced.
Yeah, like €8, I'm never, ever, ever going to buy this again. But like, I want this time to be memorable. And like, so far it is. Like, it's a real grab you by the balls beer.
And I'll tell you what, I undersold my reaction. €8 is bonkers. But it's a testament to just how banana, like nothing up is down, left is right. I don't know what things cost anymore. And once that, it just doesn't viscerally sound more to me than €5. And it's significantly more than €5. But I had even less of a reaction to that than I did the first time we got like a €5 can of beer. Do you remember?
Yeah, I know. Because it used to be like, and there still are, like White Hag are still doing like 250 Little Fawn.
Yeah.
Which, great, you know, like Rascals are still doing 250 cans and stuff like that. Like, you know, I hate that 250 is the new normal for like small cans, but...
it's the sugar tax. It's the sugar tax, man.
Sure. But you're right.
We need to dump that sugar into the bloody sea and get away from these Brits, you know? Oh, fuck, we did that already. Damn it.
The Dublin sugar party was actually on this weekend, Gavin, and it was a very different bus.
The days of €2 basic craft cans being €2. It's a shame that they're not that anymore. It wasn't bananas cheap. It was just now 2.50 is darn right good, but that's a bit of the times. As I look at this, and I know we don't normally do this, but as I look at the label for this, I'm struck by that it is a flavored alcohol-free beer. What flavor, you ask? Well, that's a very good question. It's not a
it's alcohol flavored
beer. Yeah.
So it has it's the third ingredient after water and barley is malt flavoring.
Okay.
I don't know what that could be other than. Is that not just malt?
Then malt. Like, what?
What the fuck are you talking about?
No, maybe
oh, don't
malt
worry. Flavor. With all the malty flavor, with none of the malt.
this thing used to be in a pharmaceutical product up until we recalled it. We're not going to waste it. So it's...
Yeah, this seems like the kind of non-alcoholic beer that would give you a wicked hangover. Like,
it certainly does. I have to say, it's not like... It's not immediately worse than, say, a Heineken 00. It's maybe marginally worse. I suspect probably should be a little colder, and probably no need to bother pouring it into a glass as I've done. It's actually annoying that it's so in the middle in one way, because it's by no means as nice as my favorite non-alcoholic beers. But by God, if it's not half the price. These are...
Wow. Yeah.
These are three for $2.99, or six for $2.99. Pardon me. They're like 50 cents each.
That is the price that those should be.
Yeah, it is. It was a real throwback to shopping pre MUP in the discount supermarkets, where you would like pick up like eight beers and have it be £4. Like anyway.
Yeah.
Looking at your till receipt, being like, that can't be how much that cost.
Yeah.
What I was like, the.
So it turns out most of what we're paying on the price of those cans is, in fact, the alcohol tax.
It's not a tax.
Sorry, it's not a tax. That would be potentially beneficial.
Forced profit. That's what we're paying. Forced government instituted profit.
Well, the last time we had a government instituted profit, we were all Scientologists for a few years. Remember that?
Yeah, like, to be honest, this one's better. This one is better.
This is better. So, yeah, it's irritating that I can't come down firmly in favor of this just being the brand of non-alcoholic beer that you should always drink and never differ from. It's not that nice. It's also not that horrible. I don't think it's significant. It's like, certainly not significantly worse.
No, it's not significantly worse. Like, I'm going to... cue an observation of your non-alcoholic drinking state, Manus, which is you've kind of had this reaction to a few beers, which is Erdinger you thought wasn't nice and then it grew on you. Heineken Zero you thought was worse than Erdinger and it grew on you. I think this could be just a grower. I think all non-alcoholic beers are imperfect in their own ways. And if that's you just get used to it.
And lest we forget the journey we all went on with beer in the first place.
Yeah.
That's maybe true. You're just, in your late teens again with non-alcoholic beer, being like, oh yeah, I definitely should be drinking this. It's just going to take me a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
No, it's entirely possible. I agree with the sentiment of your point anyway, even if it remains to be proven. I would prefer an Erdinger non-alcoholic over, and that's probably not the nicest one. It's just my favorite of the ones that you can always get. I would generally prefer that to a Coke or something. I would not prefer a Heineken. Pretty much. I think I pretty much would. And in terms of as well, how I feel after like a full sugar Coke as well, which like full sugar Coke when you never have it is really nice, but then you also are like, oh Jesus, what did I fucking do to myself here? Like,
I tell you, after a full sugar Coke, I feel fucking amazing. I feel like I've had, like, it's so rare that I have a full sugar Coke. It's often when I'm hungover and it's like my body is requiring some sort of stimulus to get it out of this state. And a full sugar Coke 10 out of 10 times does the job.
Yeah, it's solid. What you can ill afford to do is to have it just become as it does if you have it all the time. It's just like, oh, meh.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like caffeine. It should be used sparingly and with intent.
Oh, yeah. Bro, I tell you what I could have done maybe without knowing was, as it turns out, I've just never done this. Coffee on an empty stomach is a fucking different animal.
Oh, that, like, yeah.
Coffee.
I'll fuck you up. Yeah.
Like, I was fucking high the other day. I was fucking stoned walking down the road after I purchased that 420 coffee in the Hash Emporium. Oh,
you got the coffee with the green label on it?
The green label, yeah. Was there something special about that?
Yeah, like,
I couldn't figure out. I thought I was having an aneurysm.
You habitually drink coffee, though, like, or at least did for years at the can of Monster in the morning.
I do. I have that with my Bran Flakes and or All Bran. I still do, and non-sugar Monster. For whatever reason, it never hits. It's coffee, like a good strong cup of coffee is way more caffeine than Monster.
But what I'm saying is, you already even have a bit of a caffeine tolerance as a
result. Yeah, certainly.
If you took a couple of weeks off the juice and then lashed the coffee into you, did you be hitting that 1 hour marathon and?
Yeah. Was that wind assisted or what happened? No, he had a coffee on an empty stomach. Oh god, get that cheat out of our sport. Get Lance Armstrong back with his bicycle to shove it up his arse and get that cheating scumbag out of here. So let's say jury is not out yet, information still coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. On Berlin Backer 0-0. But god, I want to like this because it's
it will be so handy for the pockets.
Yeah, because there's no fucking reason apart from... No, there's no good reason. So there's plenty of reasons. There's no reason I accept.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons. Yeah.
About $50,000 a year more reasons. I don't know how much breweries expect to make. I don't know what's a lot of money, to be honest with you. But so we'll see about this. St. Patrick's Festival, folks. It needs to be talked about. It's the greatest one in years, I've heard.
St. Patty's. It's done.
Yeah. Survived, lads.
Survived. I feel like I didn't engage in it. Did anyone engage in festivities for St. Patrick's weekend? If it's going to the pub and getting rode off.
Watch the parade on the TV. And I've seen a lot of, and it's just on the internet, because I don't see as many people in real life anymore as I'd like to. I certainly don't see, like when I do see people, it's my like close friends and family. I don't see the amount of random spoofers that I used to see about. So a lot of the real life shit that you would hear is replaced by internet people. But I do see a little bit, god, another St. Patrick's Day sober. Is it even possible? It's actually desirable, to be honest. It's not like trying to sit through Christmas without drinking. It's like, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's immense fun when you're 19 to get messy drunk at 12:30 in the afternoon. And beyond that, it's like, why would you? There's nothing good to be done. Unless someone's having a kick-ass house party, and it's too early, realistically, in the year to be planning a barbecue, which is what... I would move St. Patrick's Day to barbecue season.
I was at a barbecue on St. Patrick's Day. It was the classic of, like, if we all wear our coats, we can pretend like it's bright enough to be warm.
Well, you can get a sneaky one. And March 17th is about as early as you could get a like properly nice day, t-shirt weather. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
we've had hot ass marches.
Yeah, that can happen. It can also snow, as it did a couple of years ago.
And a couple of weeks ago.
2018, it literally was like a foot of snow on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, remember,
Jack? We were in watching the parade in the office, and it was the day of the Ireland England match, and we were in the office, no snow at all. We're in bows, light dusting. Wake up in the morning, it's like, oh. Fuck.
I guess we're stuck here now.
Sorry, that snow was also so good because it was pre-COVID and we hadn't figured out video conferencing or anything. Oh, yeah. So an RTE where I worked at the time didn't have a laptop. I had a desktop that was in the office. So it was essentially like fucking snow day, guys. No work can be done.
So sick.
Oh yeah, no, these are two separate snows. These are two separate snows. This was almost a 1 day or 2 day wonder in March, which we were off work anyway for because it was St. Patrick's Day. There's no you're thinking of. Was the Beast from the East.
Yes.
Which was, I had my exact same experience. It was like we were like work, we're still insisting that there's like you couldn't possibly work remotely. So yeah, yeah, we got like, I think we got like 5 days off. It was some,
yeah, it was unreal. It, yeah, if we allow you to work remotely, you just won't work. And then that happens, and it's like, guess what, motherfuckers, I'm not working.
And it was awesome because, yeah, the only thing, it was way better than COVID because you could, you, not only could you go to the pub, it was all you could do. So
yeah, yeah.
It's like Wednesday, early afternoon on a Wednesday, and the Ella House is fucking rammed.
Yeah, like I went into O'Connell's on the first day and people would come in like in their big coats, like fucking Tom Crean.
Yeah.
From Harold's Cross to Portobello. Be like, oh God, get me a pint.
I earned this. I came back, it was like 5 o'clock in the evening, and I'm three sheets to the wind, and I decided to do a snow angel in the front garden. Great stuff, hilarious, great time found by all. Then I decided to do a snow angel in the back garden. Terrible time. Back garden's concrete, completely forgot. Like, just enough snow so that I didn't die, but like, gosh, it was a close one. You'd have to pretend it was something. You'd have to pretend you were caught in a sex dungeon or something if you died doing that. You'd have to be just like, just tell him I got
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, like, tell him I died choking, choke wanking, just fucking anything other than this. I don't. He deliberately threw himself backward at the ground, having forgotten that the ground is hard. Alva Keneally, RTE News, Rathfarnham.
So good. Jack, did you say before we started recording that you were at a notable bar?
So I was out on the, I went to watch the match in a pub on the Saturday, so the day before Paddy's Day, and then went to the culture club thing that Mother was running up in Collins Barracks, which like ended very early, and it ended at like 10:30. So I've been drinking for a couple of hours already, and it felt like it was much later than it was. It was a friend DJing at a bar in town, so we all went there. Now, this bar is a place called Bootleg, which I have not heard of before. It's relatively new. And it entails maybe one of my personal favorite bar interactions I have ever had. I go up to the said bar and I ask for a very simple, it's like, hi, can I have a G&T? Says, no, we're a wine bar. Long pause. We're wine forward.
Well, if you can't give me other drinks, you're not wine forward.
At which point I asked for, well, then can I have a wine? He said, yes. And he turned around, pulled the wine from the tap, and handed me one unit of wine.
One wine, please.
One wine, please. I was like, well, this place is fucking brilliant.
They're wine forward, I'll tell you that. And wine backwards. They're just, it's wine all around. It strikes me as well, Jack, that as I, the more your life begins to sound more and more exotic to me, the further I am from being in college. Whereas you're socially still there. Like, my friend's DJ in this place. We were at this thing.
My trick is having a lot of gay friends who don't plan on having kids, either ever or
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, that's it.
not a lot of
I would say is a real double-edged sword. If that's not your personal plan.
I tell you, they're pretty confident that they can't make kids doing what they're doing because they throw a lot of cum around.
They really do. Yeah. But in fairness, look, they're 1-0,000 in that particular game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you only need to be wrong once.
Yeah.
You know, and then
you gotta be lucky every time. They only gotta be
just
lucky.
See,
once.
Like the one sad guy is just like, oh, I guess someone had to be the first, but Jesus fucking Christ. I actually looked into
what
it.
What are the chances? They told me it was 1,000,000 to 1. I didn't think it was actually I thought that meant impossible, you know?
No, literally, if you do it 1,000,000 times, one time.
You know. Yeah, that means like 4 people in this very country have lost that particular bet. That's enough for a dinner table. A comfortably full car.
I did hear the episode I wasn't on recently, and I heard you were talking about like Saltburn and Barry Keoghan drinking
cummy bathwater, and people being grossed out by it. And Jack's like, people just need to have more gay friends. And I had to say, I heard that and go, Jack, you have like degenerate gay friends. Like,
yeah, sorry, I don't mean to tire.
Well, people need more of those, man.
That's actually a really important distinction. Yeah, I don't mean to say that all gay people are degenerates. Just the ones I prefer
Most people.
Yeah,
of gay friends and still find that fucking weird.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, and thank you for calling that out.
thank you for helping me be more educated on the subject, and I will endeavor and strive to move forward.
To only say that it's a particular kind of gay who's mixed clothing.
Yeah.
Although when people talk about like all the gay community or this, that, or the other community, it's like, yeah, there's a bunch of gay communities, but like there ain't only one. And it was much simpler when I thought there was, you know? Lump them all into one thing and call them all names. That's what I say. 2005, call it, wants its worldview back. And it can have it, you know?
It can have it back.
I will say on the, I actually hadn't been to like, you know, a like club type situation, but I also was at a barbecue the next day. I gave a few people a lift back into town. And drop them off at like what I would describe as like a like an aggressively trendy event. It was like it's in a place called Hen's Teeth, which is like a art gallery by
an
day.
Aggressively trendy part of town, yeah.
Aggressively trendy part of town, yeah. It's in Black Pits, and I was just like, oh yeah, sort of forget that this world exists, where it's just like a load of like really good looking people trying to figure out who everybody is.
Yeah.
And like people who you definitely knew in college, like, oh yeah, man, yeah, bro, yeah, no, I recognize the head on you. It's like literally there was a lot of stuff there. No arms, no legs, a lot of heads. And I was just like, oh yeah, I sort of forgot that this like exists and is massively thriving.
The scene didn't stop. You just stopped partaking in the scene.
Yeah. And it's kind of great crack to just observe briefly.
Right. Well, it's in a nature documentary kind of way. I can see why that might be enjoyable.
Observe how this dickhead who you sort of know from Bess is approaching that other fellow that you're fairly sure was here on a J1. Now, why you be in Ireland on a J1? Don't know. Pretty sure. Yeah. Pretty sure I just amalgamated some college terms there and hoped for the best.
Think you did a pretty good job.
Yeah, you can pretty much do that. People don't know. People will still laugh if you. If you're making fun of Dublin 4 people and you go like, oh, fucking Tarquin over here. though? There's no, but no one's called that.
I've obviously been listening to the Dave McWilliams podcast. He loves my favorite thing is that he slags him. It's like, you know, it's you, David. You know, it's you that they're slagging.
Dad.
Look in the fucking mirror at the floppy haired motherfucker. Who keeps saying that the global economy is like a tube of toothpaste? Stop with the analogies, McWilliams.
I don't think you understand, Gavin. He's folksy and of the people. He coined the phrase. He coined the phrase Decklanders, and it's still never been used by anyone but him.
His grandfather founded a football club. Now, the football club was Dorky Football Club, but he founded it nonetheless.
He's run a rough and tumble street. I run an unsuccessful Dunleary, of which there is one rough and tumble street, and the rest of it's actually just quite nice.
Dunleary. You can get such a bad land in Dunleary if you assume it's all like all of it, and then you got the one place that isn't.
Yeah.
Whoopsie. Nowhere in Dublin is fully safe from getting a bit of a bad land and being. There's a couple of really shitty areas where there's no redeeming place, and there's a couple probably of super exclusive areas where you couldn't run into a poor person if you tried, but there's very few.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Almost anywhere in Ireland, you're like, it's. I don't think we notice it because it's just this water in which we swim, but it's very mixed, generally speaking.
Yeah. I didn't know there was. Again, D4, there's social housing in Donnybrook behind the bus garage, whole big tranche of it. It's like those people are as D4 as the people who, you know,
Like, you sort of forget that a massive amount of
Balls Bridge and
a massive amount of rings, a massive amount of D4 is rings out.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, the chances of them actually being in any way generationally from there is much higher.
Yeah.
Dublin is mixed in a kind of, like, yeah, where I live, there's some areas that are like posh and some areas that aren't, and I live in the areas that aren't.
Yeah. I'm reminded of one of Paul Harrod's better jokes in the guise of Russell Carl Kelly, and he talks about the first time he goes out to UCD, and he's like, really notice it's, you know, you live your life kind of sheltered, and you go to university and you realize it's a complete melting pot. Like, you've got like Zaga guys, Black Rock guys, Michael's guys.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, Carol Kelly, I do have to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a great deal of rugby played over the weekend.
Most of it by Italy.
Most of it by Italy.
What a fun Six Nations they've had.
Undefeated in three games. No other team can say that.
Could have won three. Probably should have won three.
They certainly should have won three.
Four. Like, genuinely could have beaten England.
Yep.
Like, had the season gone slightly differently, like, as in, like, frankly, a terrible decision at the end of the French game.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been, that kick should have been retaken. You,
absolutely.
Like, 100% can't charge that. You can't charge down a penalty. That's, like, that should have been retaken and moved forward 10 meters, actually.
Yeah.
At that point. Complete ball job. Or just.
And also, if it was the other direction and that had happened to France, it would have. Like,
it would have been. At that point, you've won three, you know, and then, like, you're one game away from being title contenders, like, from being, you know.
Yeah.
And the Vegas, and it's kind of, I still don't like the bonus. I guess I prefer the bonus points to championships being decided by
head-to-heads.
Because they never did head-to-heads. They used to, I don't remember it being so. In the old days, they used to just share it. If you had the same amount of wins, you just share
it. Yeah.
And the points was all, it was kind of wacky, because it would be like, you sort of, the only way for it to be fair was to play the games at the same time. You know, which for television purposes you can't do. So I guess I prefer the bonus points to that. But it's like, it just seems kind of bonkers that up until pretty much the end of the game between Wales and Italy, like, Italy still could have finished with the wooden spoon. Like, Scotland finished behind or ahead of Italy, despite having, I mean, they both won two games. Italy drew one. I mean, it feels like it was.
Feels unfair, yeah.
They should have had a better championship than they did. I don't know. Anyway. It would have been very funny to have seen England lose the championship despite having won more games, which could have happened. It didn't. But it still would have been unfair. I don't know what you actually should do about it, to be honest with you. Bonus points probably is the way to go, but I don't know. It seems odd. Maybe they should just be more okay with sharing the title. Like, they used to do that. And they used to, in fact, have to do it a lot when there was... It's happened. Well, it used to happen more when there was less teams in it, obviously. There would be, you know, you'd be way more, you know, and you'd get like three.
Yeah, if you play four games, you win two, another two. If everyone wins two, you all share.
Which I guess in modern commercial reality, with real prize money being handed out and stuff, you can't do that, I guess. So I don't want to tinker too much with a tournament format that still fundamentally works.
Yeah, that's still fun to watch and, like, provides entertaining games and .
Because, like, they fucked with, they have fucked with the Champions Cup and made it worse. It's significantly worse. It's still the latter stages are as fun as they could be, but you don't have to watch the group stages now, basically. No. Like, there's,
because you're like,
you can win one game and go through.
Yeah. Let's Leicester field at 15 people one time, they are through to the knockouts. Like, that's it.
So don't use it. It's really hard to improve something, but it's pretty fucking easy to mess it up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot. It's a lot quicker to destroy than it is to build.
Yeah.
Fun too.
Yeah, fun. yeah, I love it for it. I'd love like if they kind of kicked on and started winning, you know,
against every team except Ireland.
One game a year, two games a year, whatever. Like, it would be fantastic. Like, they have Wales in Rome next year. They have us in Rome. And who else? Someone else? I'm not sure.
Wales in Rome. Wales in Rome should be a great.
They had France away and they had Wales away. So it must be France because they have France away this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would like to see that, and it also gladdens my heart. I would say more than any team, certainly including England, to see Wales just in the shitter.
Absolutely. Wales. Wales first. Like, I want Wales to lose. If it's England, Wales, I want Wales to lose. Yeah. Wales is worse.
Like, it can feel a bit off sometimes, but your heart of hearts, you'll know it to be true when you're actually watching. Particularly if Wales, like, take the lead in a close game against England, and you do go, fuck. Fuck Wales. I don't really know how that happened.
Yeah, I really missed the boat on everyone hating Wales. And I did get on board with it because it's more fun that way. But I never really understood why we all hated Wales all of a sudden.
I don't know I don't actually know the real answer. I rationalize it by having had very unpleasant, not very unpleasant. They weren't like they weren't ripping out seats and throwing them at us. But I had reasonably, by rugby standards, unpleasant interactions with Welsh fans, and have never had with English fans.
Yeah, English rugby fans are incredibly sound.
Yeah, they're a bit, blah, 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 but like, of course they are, but that's fine.
You can't remove the English entirely.
No,
yeah,
you can't.
You can
overpower us with the rugby fans part.
Yeah, but it's nice that England has football for all of the like truly horrible people to draw
them away.
Like, overall population of rugby fan a little bit nicer, you know.
Yeah, you're right, Gav. We are also lucky to have the GAA.
No, I would say for Ireland, that is rugby.
like, sorry, you're right. The GAA is lucky to have
all those wankers like rugby.
It's hard to sort of they sort of now seem like one and the same, but they're really not. With rugby being sort of a big event sport that's sort of just generally popular in the way that something is popular when a team is doing well, as opposed to just being the rugby crowd. So like a lot of the complaints that you will see about like games at you know, the Aviva Stadium or whatever, is it's like, oh, it's these. Like this same article they have every year is like, oh, these posh boys up and down to the bar to get their pints. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's, you really are trying to separate it from the D4 heads, which are annoying. But I think a lot of those people are just the people who are going to the big thing. They don't.
Yeah, yeah. Who are the good time Charlies who are like, we're going to beat Scotland. That sounds like a good time. I could be pissed at that. I'll go to that.
Yeah,
and I'm really struggling to find the problem with any of this, fellas.
it's infuriating.
As a proud good time Charlie.
If you're trying to watch a match, it is so fucking annoying to be behind, in front of, or anywhere near lads who are up and down to the pub every up and down to the bar every 5 minutes.
The 1 pint at a time people are in fairness unbearable. It's like get as many as you can, sit down,
at halftime, yeah, and come back.
Yeah, 100%. Like a goddamn professional.
The solution that they seem to be loath or perhaps prohibited to implement is the American one, where like a beer man comes around to you.
That, I'll tell you what, that was in Japan, in every stadium, the Heineken people. And let me tell you, it was incredible. The service. I felt like I was at a Michelin star stadium. They just arrived just as you're finishing your pint. Care for another, sir? Oh my God.
It actually wouldn't surprise me at all that if we weren't allowed seem to be asking if someone, like, hey, do you want another drink? I bet you're not allowed to do that.
Soliciting hooch.
Because they had years, like at this point, probably 10 years ago in the whatever the domestic league was called, whether it was the Magners League or whatever. They used to have Magners and Heineken people going around with chillers on their backs during those matches, and that stopped. Now, I guess maybe it just wasn't financially worth it to them to keep doing it, but...
Yeah, it's a lot of bodies to have around. Like, the volume of people doing it in Japan was staggering. Like, they, you know, I don't imagine that every person selling the booze was making their wage back.
I just think that the margin on hooch must be so good. Like,
it's gotta be.
Like, it's grand, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
it makes.
I'll tell you, it must be so worth it to them because it's so significantly worsens the consumer experience to have it the way it is, and yet they will not change it. Actually, they may not be allowed to. I think they may just have some mad like 15-year contract with whoever operates it may simply be that they can't actually, they're legislatively bound, not legislatively, contractually, they're bound to have it be worse. And again, as long as because it's slightly too small of a stadium, it seems mad that a 50,000 seater is too small, but it's probably a little too small.
Mm.
Like, if they'd been allowed to fill it in the whole way around,
there'd be
an extra 10,000, that'd probably be about the size it should be.
Hmm. Yeah.
As it is, you can't get a fucking Six Nations ticket. Like,
no.
Yeah.
For love nor money. Yeah.
It's almost like we already had a stadium that would have been perfect for the kind of popularity and caliber of sports we were trying to do with rugby.
It's fucking bananas that, like, you. This...
What was the capacity of Lansdowne?
Ooh.
It was probably about that. It might have been slightly more because there was terracing.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably about that. But it's bonkers. Like, it sort of gets brought up as a positive, and I guess it is, but it's nuts that Crow Park is single use, basically, or GA. They're so close to, like, look at where they are. Like, look at an aerial shot of Crow Park and the Aviva Stadium. It's like, that's fucking bananas that they're both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also kind of bananas as well that, like, the schedules are such a way that, like, there'd never be an overlap.
Yeah, it would be. They
like,
would,
never.
Would
like, perfectly, that stadium be used year round because the seasons are exact opposites.
Like, if you just came in from space or Munster, whichever's further away, and observed if they had them in the same stadium, you would be forgiven for going, oh, they must have arranged it so that they don't have to play at the same.
Surely someone's thought about this.
And, like, clearly there's a pressure on Crow Park to have matches in it that really have no business being there. Like, you know, league matches that 15,000 people turn up to. It's like, what?
I know, yeah.
You know, it's insane that they open it for that, but.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd rather it be overused than underused. Like, I actually have no problem with using it for games that kind of don't deserve it. Like, because. Like or that
one well, because it should be used. Yeah,
yeah. Loads of venues don't sell out. Have you ever seen theater?
But that's my. But my point is that, like, it's like there's matches that don't need to be in it that are, and there's matches that could really do with being in it that aren't. And if you ignore the fact that there is, like, some sort of confessional allegiance attached to which sport
and it's mad because, like, the sports that you would have in it, like, you know, your rugby, your football, like, it's a national team. Like, and Crow Park is our national stadium, so it makes sense. And yes, we kind of ship it out for, like, such international frivolity as, like, Taylor Swift versus Garth Brooks, which, like, you know, I'm pretty, like, you have to make your money, but, like, they could be making it with sports, you know.
What's the word I'm looking for? Hand over fist.
Yeah.
I think you're exactly right about that, and you're also probably touching on why there isn't a commercial pressure. Like, the existence of your Garth Brooks and your Taylor Swift size act that will pay for and fill it means that they aren't looking for, because what are they allowed? Is it 6 concerts a year they're allowed?
Yeah, something like that. 6, yeah.
Like, you really, you would feel that, like, 2 or 3 Six Nations games a year and 2 or 3 international soccer games a year.
Yeah.
if you couldn't get, if there weren't acts touring.
I'm not sure you'd fill it. Like, the Aviva is probably the right size for the soccer.
It probably for all but like a really marquee
Ireland,
game.
England, Ireland, France, like qualifier. Like, we're not getting serious games.
But that's also that's arguably a temporary problem. Like,
potential.
Ireland, like some, like what, like one, the second generation Brazilian Irish person finally gets really good at football, and all of a sudden everyone wants to watch the team in 10 years.
Yeah.
You could also do stuff like do double headers with the men's and women's team. I think you probably would fill it, I think, at that point.
I mean, I know,
like you'll get people will be red on the face. Both ways of it, like the attendance for women's games, where it's like if it's really low, there's a certain type of person that goes, ha 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 ha, and if it's really high, they go like, well, the tickets were fucking €2, so it doesn't fucking count, but like, you know, or whatever. But I think if you did that, if once a year you had a big doubleheader with the men's and women's team, I think you'd fill Croke Park for just out of it being like the big fucking celebration of what the fuck do I know? I don't know. I don't know anything. Maybe you wouldn't. Yeah. Look at the end of this podcasting game.
I actually think we've solved it. I think the three of us, just knocking our heads together, we've solved it.
This is how every political party gets formed. And the scary thing is a bunch of them then get elected.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of people exactly our age, pretty much of our background, who sit around and go, we're right, aren't we?
Someone has to be right. And statistics say that it's probably us.
Yeah.
Give us a go.
Yeah, and I, for one, can't wait for your Sock Dems run.
Oh, God, I wouldn't touch them with a 10-foot clan pole. No, the Sock Dems are a psyop. Everything I don't like is a psyop at the moment. So, and if you're looking for further explanation,
they're trying to weaken that powerful 3% that Labour has.
Listen here.
Small.
I still feel quite slighted that the Quinn tide of 2011 was sapped of its vitality and sent back out to sea with naught but a few senators. And I blame the media. I blame everyone except me. That's for sure. I'm certain my vote couldn't have helped. Because you're not allowed to vote for your own party, right? That's one of the rules.
No. That's why it's a competition of ideas instead of, you know, like...
Yeah, you
know,
and if
like,
you could vote for your, historical. Everyone could just vote for their own party. Then I'd
vote Otherwise,
for
everyone just vote for their own party. It's like Eurovision.
It's exactly like Eurovision, the Balkan countries. They hold an inordinate amount of power. And for some reason, Israel's involved.
And for some reason, Israel remains involved.
Yeah. I did love, and it's the last thing I'll say of it, of the Patrick's weekend. I did love Leo Varadkar giving Joe Biden a stern talking to about Israel. And then Joe Biden patting him on the head and going, there, off you go.
Gave him a real firm handshake about that.
You don't hear about them that often, but their headline for the visit was, in quotes, "No worries if not, Varadkar gives Biden a stern talking to about humanitarian treatment in Gaza."
I think his reply literally was something like, we're going to keep doing that. There's going to be no change whatsoever. And it is, I think, very important to keep this vital line of communication. That's the envy of the world, which is our annual jolly to Washington. You know, it's we get great access to Joe, and he tells us to our most people have to wait for the Zoom call to be told that they're just going to do whatever. But we get to hear it to our face. Thank you, Taoiseach. There actually were agenda items that I've completely forgotten. We can get to them next week. That'll be fine.
Yeah, stay tuned. Will.
Certainly will. Although if I haven't told people what they are, we actually might. So that's a little scary. But hey.
Would it be possible to give like a teaser so we can so to keep us honest, because we always come back to those.
Yeah, here it is.
Are you finally gonna tell us where Drake's gold is?
Well, I'll tell you this, Gavasaurus. We're gonna not shy away from the tough questions regarding Drake's gold, and we're not gonna ask too many hard questions about gold, because the last time that got a bit weird. Remember when we started trying to find out where all the gold went? And we,
yeah.
Did we ever find that gold?
I think it was discovered in the. Is your man who's the like right wing guy who had a bunch of like National Party gold? I can't remember what the story was.
Was it Justin Boyd Barrett? No.
It's something like Richard that.
Justin Boyd Barrett is the other guy. Justin,
yeah,
it was
you never seen the two of them. You never seen them both in the same place. I can't remember what it was. Like the party had like become paranoid about fiat currency and put a lot of money in gold, and then turned out just one bloke just had it all or something. I haven't looked into it, but you know what? Nothing's funnier than the thing I've made in my head. So it's,
yeah.
One like grizzled prospector from the gold rush of 49 sitting there going, "Yeah, it's all for me."
I also love it's like, I mean, fiat currency, that's fucking made up. The government could take that away at any moment. Better just give our gold to Jerry over there. All right.
The gold in Jerry's gaff.
There, it's safer. It can't be taken by the government or Jerry or, wait a minute, we haven't really thought this through.
We haven't Jerry proofed this plan at all. Lads, is this what gerrymandering is? We should really look into this politics thing. We just started a party because I think somebody said they wanted to have a birthday party and someone wanted to take it national. And I don't know. I'm in way over my head here, guys.
Occasionally, a line will pop up on this show that really gives me like this like deep yearning for to like film sketches with ye. And we haven't jerry-proofed this plan at all was one of those lines. I'm like, God, that's really good.
You've got to fight that yearning, Jack. That yearning leads to unhappiness.
A lot more pints outside the international.
It's much more fulfilling to imagine that we would do a much better job than the crop of comics who are out there at the moment than to actually try and do it.
After fucking so many episodes, you finally learned the joys of plan was.
The long con has been
this is why you do it. It's so fun.
It's fucking amazing. Yeah, we were gone.
Fucking party, man. Great.
Had things gone to plan, what would have happened is, yeah, I'm with you. Jerry proofing the plan. What a line. They would have loved it.
Yeah, that would have killed.
I can already imagine it. Yeah. So probably we'll get into that next week at the next available moment of recording. So it's probably time to review the beers. We actually have reviews. Now, Jack, most important one first, Guinness.
Still Guinness. Worst out of a can.
I have to say, after Patrick's week, although you were at a wine bar, so I'm going to say...
Well, it was very wine forward, you see.
It goes from very wine. It goes to the staying power of Guinness that you were like, I'll still return to the Guinness after a hard weekend on it. But in fact, it was probably a refreshing balm to your taste buds.
And actually, I only had a very heavy night. And actually, Paddy's Day, I didn't drink because I was driving to various bits. So only a few archways. And
thank God, I was worried there for a second.
Let me tell you, like you do the two. I now do two calculations in my head whenever I go out. It's like, right, how much money am I spending and how much calories am I consuming? And there was times when both of those would easily stretch into the thousands.
Oh, fuck yeah. There are two calculations that if you're doing them, you don't do the drinking thing. Like
this is hella dumb. I took yesterday off, but I'm about to get wrecked now tonight as well.
Nice.
Hey Jack, you've earned it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You had a tough day yesterday of driving about the place. Yeah, and you've earned a heavy night.
I know, man. The car's an automatic. It was a real easy day driving her.
Well, your car is actually like a pleasure cruise to drive. I will say that much. It is a lovely car. Yeah. And the only slightly difficult bit about driving is taken away completely. It's actually dangerous.
Once again, the never becomes I, not you, driving. It's like
I can
oh,
imagine
I
falling
to go
asleep
slower.
In your car. What a lovely bit of equipment. And in fact, Jack, let me talk to you at some point offline about you. May be the worst person to ask about this because you're like the biggest, like you just like to spend loads of money when you shouldn't. But I am looking at purchasing a used car, and I kind of don't know what to look for.
I'll give you the answer right now. We don't need to do this offline. Me and you together are going to go to a place and just look at some shit.
Yeah, it's probably the thing to do, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to end up in a fucking Jaguar,
man. We'll see if we can get. And that won't be, tough.
It can happen to you. If I know one thing about both of us, Manus, is that we are, if anything, too abundant with willpower.
It's true, yeah. It'll be all they can do to even get us out of there in an old Morris Minor. As I start to get overwhelmed by the car salesman's slick moves, and I point out, wait a minute, I've brought my financial consultant for just such a situation.
Yeah. Oh, you think you're slicker than me?
Jack,
What's that car over there? Oh no, we're not allowed to sell that car to you. I'll take it. I don't care what it costs.
I'll show you how slick I am. I'm so slick I got lots of money. Look, just look how much I'm willing to spend on this car.
How exactly did we end up with Coolio's tour bus, Jack? I don't think they sell those in the Volkswagen dealership, but here we are.
But you can really still smell the Coolio off the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think they've removed his fetid corpse.
Oh. We still have to spread those ashes in the bus.
Was that a rule? I can't remember, but I'm already doing it, so just go with it here.
Just
roll with it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a solid review for Guinness. Me and Jack are going car shopping, so God bless whatever's going to happen here. Perlenbacher 0.0, probably a 5 out of 10 for flavor, but a 5 out of 5 for price.
Yeah. Cannot argue with the price.
That's really great.
Fucking can't, man. It's 50 cent a bottle when you actually break it down. And it's a glass bottle, so no pesky deposit return.
Wow. Lovely.
No. And you can, if you whip it at your enemies, they'll know.
They'll fucking know.
About it. And for the review that people might have actually been interested in, Gavin, your Appley White Haggy MacGyver Cidery.
This is a tough one because, like, in terms of, like, will I drink it again? No. It's a 0 out of 10 for price. Yeah. A full-on 0 out of 10. Sure. €8 for 350 to 5%. Absolute crazy. In terms of flavor and in terms of novelty beer, it had the fancy cage. It had the fancy cork. Every single taste was like a first taste. Like, I didn't get used to it. Mm. And I was like, this is interesting and stuff like that. So, like, I'm going to factor the price into the review.
Yeah.
And I'm also going to factor in the flavor and stuff. And I'm going to give it a 4.5. Like, it's a novelty beer. It is tasty if you like it. But, like, you need to, like, have money to burn to justify this. Like, it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. €8, are you fucking kidding me?
All right, man. So what we're going to do is we're going to buy a couple of those and then go buying cars. We want to set our expectations good and high for what numbers really mean.
Honestly, you can walk out of there with a fucking Ferrari after purchasing this and it would seem like better value. Like, get real, guys. Get fucking real. €8. Why not get real?
Absolutely. For a beer that you then
like,
have to
print. You have to sip that and be like, we'll bottle it. €3.75. €8 seem about right. Fuck off.
Yeah. And you had to bring it home, refrigerate it yourself, and like drink it either out of your own glass. It's like, if this was not even served to you at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I understand that like there's a markup when you go to a bar, but like I have, this has been marked up. This is, 4.5. Fuck these guys.
It deserves that. You can't, there's times when you might say ignore the price. When it's €8, I'm sorry, you can't. You can't ignore it in your review.
No.
If you're the beer nut, you have a palate that's refined enough to do that, but we don't. So.
We don't. No. Avoid this beer.
Yeah. Don't buy it. 4.5 is nice. It is a perfect score because it's like, it's still a don't buy, but it's giving it enough credit. It's gone.
Like, it's a well-made, nice beer that's like sour and appley and like really kind of novelty and fresh, but like,
we'll buy three of something else.
Exactly. Buy three of something else. Yeah.
Buy three different things. What are the odds you'll hate them all?
Yeah.
Well, he sure showed me. I hated all of those, but which really only leaves us, I think, one thing to choose to.
And I know what it is. Okay. To a 2007 Aston Martin DB9 for only €49,000.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't even say it.
Aston Martin.
fucking love a DB9.
Yeah. Fucking God. six liter engine convertible.
Could park it nowhere.
And also use that convertible maybe three times a year.
Oh man, but yeah, James Bond.
You spread that out
but
over the
James
2 years.
Bond.
But you spread that out over the 2 years you might own it.
Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.